Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. Today we continue with the interview that I had with a good friend of ours, Mr. Dick Baer. Dick Baer is a former Mormon who founded Ex-Mormons Christian Alliance, and you may recall that name from the film The Godmakers that came out back in the 1980s. Well, in yesterday's broadcast, Dick tells us of the price that he paid in making a decision to follow Christ, which of course involved leaving the Mormon Church. In today's broadcast, he's going to tell us more about how he got involved in ministry.
I had a lot of friends in Mormonism because I sang, and sang in some pretty neat groups. And all these supposed friends just disappeared. I remember talking to a former stake mission president in Fresno, a dentist there in Clovis, and he left the church. And his many friends, hundreds of, wouldn't talk to him. One day he ran into one of his really neat Mormon friends, leader in the church, and he said, "You know, what happened? You know, why do you not speak to me?" And the guy answered him, and I remember this. He told him, he said, "Just come back into the church and don't mess the nest." And then all your friends will come back. I have said this many times. If I hadn't have gone public with what I had learned, my life would be different today. But I had to look in the mirror every day. And I had to think, can I live a lie the rest of my life? And I couldn't.
You got involved in ministry, like you say, when you went public. Okay, that's the big difference.
I started being requested to speak at churches, and initially I just went and told my story. What happened?
What year is this? What's the time frame?
This would be 1979, 1980, and I remember some of the first churches I went to. One was clear out in the Mojave Desert. At one of these real desert towns, in Ridgecrest, and told my story. And then one day I get a phone call from Ed Decker. He says, "The script is going to arrive for you." And I said, "What script?" He said, "Well, we're going to make a movie." And the movie ended up titled The Godmakers. And then after The Godmakers was completed, I started showing The Godmakers in churches. And I was honored to be the one to show the world premiere of the film at Grace Community Church, John MacArthur's church. And the place was packed as the New Year's Eve meeting, one of the most attended meetings at Grace Community is the New Year's Eve meeting. And I had typed up my story of why I left the Mormon Church, and we had, I don't know, hundreds of copies at that meeting, all of them gone. And so I started traveling with the film, ultimately then got a 501c3 decision with the IRS.
Yeah, nonprofit corporation.
Nonprofit mm-hmm. corporation. And named our ministry Ex-Mormons and Christian Alliance and started traveling. I know just with the film, I showed it in over 1,500 churches and then branched out into technology and so forth.
no film would be perfect, certainly, but I think that film is probably what revolutionized ministry to the Mormon people, because it brought to the forefront that there's really a problem here. Yeah. When people would watch that film and they would listen to, well, your story, because it was you and you were in a lawyer's office, I remember the story, and you're trying to bring some kind of case against the fraud that's being perpetuated by the Mormon church. And in doing so, you're telling the story of why it's fraudulent. And there was a cartoon, an animated section in there. But it did have quite an impact. Now, I was already in ministry at that time. I started in 1979. I think the Godmakers came out, what, 83, 84?
82.
Filmed it. Okay. So we're talking about it coming out about 83, 84 then. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really bringing, again, like I say, to the forefront the real problem that we have in Mormonism. And it made it very easy for people to see what the problem is and how this church has affected people. But there's a lot of people that are really hurting, because I think most people in the Mormon church want to have that assurance that their salvation is taken care of, the forgiveness of sins and things like that. They want things to be right, but they know that they're not right. And because of that, they live with this huge burden of guilt.
Yes. And Utah has the highest instance of taking psychotropic drugs.
Prescription medication is a problem in Utah.
Antidepressants and anxiety.
Well, I can understand why, if this seeming perfection, and I know Mormons get upset when you use that word, but yet when I talk to Mormons about what the requirements are for them to have the best their religion has to offer, I won't even mention the word perfection, and they'll say, well, are you saying that we have to be perfected? Well, how did you come to that conclusion? I never said that. All I did was list all the things you need to do, and you seem to have drawn that conclusion on your own. They do see it as that, even though they don't want you saying that. Yeah. I think they understand it to be that, and they're real defensive about it. So you have these people with this guilt, which is natural, because guilt is what you will feel when you're under the law. That's what the law does. It makes you feel guilty because you can't live up to it. So you find this liberation in Christ. You find this forgiveness of sins in Christ. And now you're taking this message out through this film. And what kind of results are you seeing directly from the film?
Well, I remember certain churches where we showed the film, where I always had a question and answer period following the film.
I remember. I actually went to some of your meetings when you were in Southern California, and I was there.
And I always indicated that it's to be question and answer period, that I get to ask you a question as part of the question and answer period. I remember a lady in Hanford, California. And she said, are you telling me that the Jesus of Mormonism is not the Jesus that saves? And I said, yes, ma'am, that's what I'm saying. And I was just prompted. I said, would you like to receive the real Jesus right now to be your personal Lord and Savior? Yes. And so she followed me in a prayer. And I remember some leaders of the Mormon church that stood up in the back wondering who this was that was doing this at that meeting. We had developed a letter of how to get your name off the records of the Mormon church. And we had churches where there were over a dozen people would ask for the letter on how to get their name off. I remember another lady in Denver, Colorado. Church was packed, had two or three rows of Mormon missionaries sitting there. And a lady who was deaf-mute asked essentially, you know, is this the wrong Jesus with the Mormon church? Yes. And we led her in a prayer through sign language. And that was a powerful one.
You didn't really have just one question. I remember you had three questions. I was there.
Yeah.
And you would do this. When they would ask you a question, you would graciously answer the question for them in the Q&A forum. But then you had some questions to ask them.
Well, first of all, I would show the documentation from their own sources. I traveled with a computer, and I had an Alps laser printer.
You just mentioned that. I remember it was an Alps laser printer because I bought one like it. You told me about it, and I bought one. Yeah. So I had an Alps laser as well.
And
boy, this is going way back.
And we would say, here's the documentation, and if you'd like a copy of this, at the end of the meeting, come up and we'll run you a copy of
it. You were using Mormon software to present your case, and I think that's essential that people understand that you were using their own material in your presentation off of their own software, and if somebody wanted the proof, you would just print it off for them right there.
It was initially Word Cruncher, as I remember, the Mormon program. All of the programs had all of the standard works, the Bible, Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, and the history of the church and so forth. Then it evolved to where at the current, there's over 4,000 books on Mormonism that you can document the documentation for a person. Then I discovered another very interesting thing regarding documentation. Someone called me and wanted to know where such and such was. And I was trying to think. And I says, I'll Google it. And so I just put the keywords in, Googling it, and you can find the documentation on these issues as fast with Google as you can looking for the Mormon book.
Oh, yeah. I catch a lot of Mormons just doing a cut and paste. They'll send these big, long answers to me, and I can tell this isn't original. And all you have to do is just highlight a section of it, put it in Google, and there's the resource that they were plagiarizing and acting as if it was their answer when I could tell it wasn't their answer.
Yeah.
And I can find the source in a matter of seconds now. The computer has certainly changed how we do this kind of work. I remember back in the early days, everything was hard copy. Everything was actually reading the Journal of Discourses, whereas now we can just do keyword searches and don't have to read all of that stuff.
I remember an interview with Marlon Jensen.
Former church historian.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was asked, you know, why all these people are leaving the church in droves.
Yeah, I think the question was, The woman who asked the question actually said why they're leaving in droves. And he acknowledged that he knew that. You're right.
As I remember, one of the answers he gave was the internet.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publisher's new book, Answering Mormons' Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormons' Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org.